Good morning. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson. I will be your servant today. I like to say that when I greet you all, because I believe that we all have a call upon our lives when we become Christians, a call to be servants. And basically, that's a call to say to people, how can I help you? What can I do to help? And that's what we're going to think about today. In our service and in our sermon is what does it mean to be a servant and what does it mean to answer God's call to help others. Before we begin our announcements, I would like us to turn in our pew and greet your neighbor with peace of Christ this morning.
Good morning. Oh, yeah, the mic is really working today. Cool beans. I appreciate what Pastor Esther said this morning about being a servant. Our Sunday school class this morning, we were just talking about that. So how cool is that? If you don't know who I am, my name is Rhonda Barlow, and I will be your liturgist today and your servant today. Let's go over our announcements for today. We have a council meeting this evening at 6 o'clock. Everyone is encouraged to come. And then, of course, you have other meetings here going on. It looks like Tuesday you have a communications committee meeting at 6:30. And then there is going to be a church breakfast this coming Saturday from 9 to 10. Oh, I'm sorry, 9 to 11. Guys, 9 to 11. Okay. There is a district leadership training at Lakewood United Methodist Church on January 31st. The classes go from 8:30 to 1 p.m., and some of the classes that are being offered, Child Youth Protection Policy, Finance 101, Finance 201, Lay Leader Training, Staff Parish Relation Committee Training, I can't speak today, Staff Parish Relation Committee Training 201, a trustee training, how to deal with difficult church people. Yeah, we don't need that. We all love one another. Leading your worship team, tips and tools for organizing your worship team, talk to me, how to facilitate group discussion, and euthanizing your men's ministry, and much more. That's what it says. I'm just reading it. It's a different kind of you. Okay, the sign-ups, turn in the page, okay? The sign-ups for the classes, you can either do that online or you can call the church office. Also, too, there are some new Bible studies starting February 4th at 2 p.m., there's an intro to the New Testament that's going to be handled by Pastor Esther, and then Jean Clark is going to be doing the intro to the Old Testament. Also, on February 7th, we're having a Valentine dinner at 6 p.m. Saturday. So bring your sweetheart, good friend, or just come for the love of God. The dinner includes cake, salad, bread, dessert, and the tickets are $10. For a family, it's $25. Now, and the deadline for that, for you to get your tickets, is February 1st. Okay, I need to have Matthew come up to the podium this morning. He's going to speak to you about an announcement with the youth.
Thank you. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Matthew 25:35. John answered, the man with 2 tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Luke 3:1. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Romans 12:13. With that in mind, we're asking the congregation to bring a can of soup and a $1 bill to Super Bowl Sunday, February 1st. That would be super if you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. I have one more announcement before I ask Pastor Esther to come up. She has an announcement to make. My husband has asked me to let you all know that we do still have firewood at the house. If you are interested in picking up some, I will tell you that you will have to cut some of the firewood up yourself. We do not have a chainsaw big enough to cut it all up with. So if you're interested, please let us know. Pastor Esther?
I need to make an appeal to you to prayerfully consider if there's someone out in the congregation who can help us by teaching Sunday school to our children. We need a Sunday school teacher for the 8 to 12 year old Sunday school class. We have an assistant teacher. We have curriculum material that you can use. We just need somebody to come in and help us out. And if you would like to do that or would like to be asked to at least help with that, please see me or Annette Jeffrey. Please see one, and that's right there. She's holding her hand up. She's our education chairperson, and we're going to try and find somebody to work with our children Sunday school. Thank you very much.
Are there any other announcements that possibly I didn't get? Also, we are starting, along with the two Bible studies that will be during the day, there will be an evening Bible study starting in February on Thursday night, 7 o'clock here at the church. That first Thursday night will be the 5th, and we will be studying God's will. So if you would like to join us, we'll see you February 5th, Thursday night, 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
Amen.
Bob? And going with that, I am your recording secretary, so when you guys are going to report, speak slowly. Yes. And also, additional announcement, Jane brought the tents here on the side of the church. They need to be taken down correctly and hanging correctly in the pump house. If you're able to stay after church today, it would be most helpful to try to get those tents down and put away the speak. And now if we could turn into our bulletin for the opening words. God, you call each of us to serve you, and we answer, here I am. Jesus, you call each of us to follow you, and we answer, here I am. Holy Spirit, you call each of us to worship you this day, answer, here I am. Let God, even before us, your love surrounds us, you promise to be all deserve you. We pray that you will keep true to that desire, and so prayer, in Jesus' name, amen.
If you would stand and turn to page 419 in your hymnals, sing, I am thine, O Lord. page 882, we'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Going to come too, I think, right? Yeah. Okay, I want to tell you a story today about a little girl named Kia. She was 4 years old, and she thought she was a big girl, that she didn't need any help, that she could do, she was wanted to be big, and she thought, I can do all these things for myself. Nobody could help her do anything. But then she heard the story about Samuel, who was a young boy. He was only about 12 years old, and he was helping out in church. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and asked him to do things for him. And Samuel said, here am I. I will help you. I'm listening, God. Tell me to do what you want me to do. And Kia thought that was strange, that God would need help. Well, it's true. God doesn't need our help. But God wants our help. God wants each of us to listen to him and to do what God asks us to do. That's not always an easy thing to do, to listen to other people, to listen to God and to have God tell us what he would like us to do. But that's how we can help God, is by listening to God and also by helping each other. God wants us to help each other. And that's what it means to be a servant, is to help one another. And let's make a plan to help each other. Like Kia did, she said, I learned to ask people what they needed. And so I said to my mom, can I help you, mom? I said to my dad, can I help you, dad? She learned to ask the question before anybody asked her. She said, can I help you? And that's something that I want you to learn to do, too. You are listening to God when you say to other people, can I help you? Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for the people who have helped us. And we pray, O God, that we will learn how to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this one's for you. Ushers, please come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the author of every good and perfect gift. Come to you as your servants today, dear God, asking how we can help you and how we, oh God, can help your church. We pray your blessing upon all these gifts, every giver and each gift, that they may be used for furthering your kingdom. Thank you.
story, this is my song.
This is my song.
Such a long road I'm traveling on. Coming up the mountain, swimming the sea. Everywhere I go, someone's helping me.
Thank you all so much. You know, I like the early service. It's a nice service. It's a different kind of service than this service, but they don't get to hear this. They don't get to miss out on that. No, they bring a lot. They bring a lot. We have a number of people that we need to keep in our prayers this morning, and I'm certainly not going to try and attempt to say all of them this morning, but you all will probably say them in our time of prayer. But God knows what the needs are. We just like to support one another by hearing those names. It's important to us to know who in our church needs to be prayed for. We need to pray for Connie Laurie, who's getting over an illness. We need to pray for Sharon Harris, who's in the hospital. We need to pray for Lou Beattie, who is going under cancer treatment. We have several people who have been absent for a while because they've been sick or injured, and they are here today. We are so glad to have you back with us worshiping. Are there others that need to be lifted up before God Almighty today? Who needs to be touched by the healing love of God? Jim Stowers. Thank you. Jim Stowers and the Clark family returning home from the loss of Peggy's mother. And I heard someone else over here. Anyone? What was that, Bill? Oh, they said what you were going to. All right. We can hear it more than once. Teresa? Let's go to God in prayer and use these moments of silence. Hear God's voice. Hear God calling you by name. Respond by saying, "Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now hear our prayers that we bring to your feet, O God. God of Deborah and Samuel, God of Anna and Simeon, God of all the prophets, we honor our prophets of old and our prophets of today. We honor the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who called out for your justice and righteousness to all people, but especially those who were oppressed because of their racial and ethnic identity. Remember how he put his own life on the line, dying in the struggle for oppression for all God's children. We remember all the biblical times till today who stood up for the oppressed. Give you thanks for the prophets who have spoken up and put their lives on the line on behalf of your people. We mourn their loss and pray for all of our prophets. O God, stir in us the call to speak out when we see injustice. Act where there is injustice on behalf of all who suffer from oppression. Grant us your courage and strength to do your work, for you know each one of us. You know our strengths and our challenges, and you call each of us to a unique ministry, but you call all of us to justice, forgiveness, and love. In the name of the Christ, we give honor and thanks for those who have gone before us and for those today who are our prophets. And we pray in the words that Jesus taught by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Now if you'd stand and turn to page 593 in your hymnal, we'll sing, Here I Am, Lord. This is one of the choir's favorite songs.
Scriptures for today are out of 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel," and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your Lord is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." Thanks be to God for the hearing of these words.
I want to share with you a few words from a colleague of mine, Brett Younger, who shares some of his early childhood experiences with racism. And I want to tell you in advance that some of this is hard to hear. It's hard to speak as well. Hear now what he shares about his life. He writes, "The year after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, I was a third grader in Ridgeland, Mississippi. I lived in a segregated world, separate and unequal. Everybody I knew wanted things to stay the way they were. The white people in my hometown didn't understand what Dr. King preached, didn't hear what he heard God say. We didn't hear God say anything that we didn't want to hear. I knew that there were African Americans living nearby, but we went to different schools, stores, post offices, and saddest of all, churches. Then one Friday afternoon, Mr. Williams, our bus driver, told us to sit down and get quiet. 'Starting on Monday,' he said, 'there will be two black girls riding on our bus.' Several boys in the back of the bus started to boo. Williams yelled, 'Get quiet. I don't like it either, but there's nothing we can do about it. None of you will have to sit by them. They'll sit in this seat right behind me.' Then he started the bus. Bad kids said that they would call the new girls names and let them know that they didn't belong on their bus. And the good kids said that it wasn't fair and that the best thing to do was to say nothing at all. On Monday and on the days that followed, as far as I know, none of the bad kids ever said anything loud enough to be heard, but something no less tragic took place. First children on the bus each morning and each afternoon sat in the back row. Every day for the rest of the year, the bus filled from the back with every white child sitting as far as possible from the two children sitting in the front seat." He goes on to say, "It's embarrassing to confess that years passed before I realized how evil we were. It didn't occur to me to sit on the second row to say hello or question our actions. As the good white children of good white parents, we didn't think of ourselves as bigots. We just found it easier not to challenge what was expected. Many of us can probably relate to that. It's a heartache to me to know that these things happened in my lifetime. And we all know that racism begins at home, but it also gets affirmed by the culture that we live in. And hateful attitudes become lived assumptions. Until someone comes along and starts challenging those assumptions. But if we're honest, we all find it easier not to listen to God, because listening can be dangerous. It was for Samuel. He grew up in the church, helping Eli with chores around the temple, lighting the lamp, sweeping the floor, putting the hymnals back in the pews. Samuel never thought about listening for God because no one was listening for God. As the writer says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. It's not surprising that when 12-year-old Samuel hears the voice while sleeping in church, he assumes it's the priest, Eli, whom he serves under. Three times, someone calling his name awakens him from his sleep. And three times, he goes to Eli and asks what he wants. After the third time, Eli wonders that although God has not been heard from in these parts for some time, if perhaps Samuel is hearing God's voice speak. And he tells Samuel that if he hears the voice again, he should answer, "Here I am. I'm listening." God does speak to Samuel and gives Samuel some disturbing news, news that Samuel doesn't want to repeat because it's about Eli's sons. After he hears God's voice, Samuel's life is never the same again. It's harder. It's much harder when we listen to God. Martin Luther King Jr.'s father, grandfather, great-grandfather, brother, and uncle were all preachers. And when he became pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, he still hadn't had a firsthand experience of God. But then Rosa Parks refused to go to the back of the bus, and Martin found himself in the middle of a boycott. Although he'd only been in Montgomery for a year, he was only 27 years old, he quickly became a leader of the movement. And it wasn't long before his family started getting threatening phone calls. He wondered how much of this he'd be able to take, and he wondered if he would be able to see it through. And then one night around midnight, a threatening call came in. "We're tired of you, and if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." And Dr. King prayed aloud that night. Reports hearing a voice calling him to stand up for righteousness, justice, and truth. The voice of Jesus promising to be with him through the fight. Dr. King's life from that moment on is a testimony to his response to that prayer. And I want us to think about today, what would we hear if we listened for God's voice? What would God be saying to us at Calvary United Methodist Church? Would God tell us to be honest about the prejudices that lie so deep within us that we don't even admit them to ourselves? Would God ask us to repent not only of whatever hatred we feel, but also of whatever apathy we hide? To let worship penetrate our hearts enough for us to say, "Speak, God, for I am listening." To realize that if racism seems like someone else's problem, then we are part of that problem. To stop waiting for others to take the first step, and to step across the lines ourselves. Speak with kindness and courage when it would be easier to say nothing. To do more than vote and work for economic justice. To do more than tolerate our differences. but honor and celebrate them. Be impatient with equality. Impatient with anything less than freedom and justice. If we listen for God, we'll hear a dangerous voice telling us to do what's right. As we celebrate Dr. King's legacy this weekend, remember that he had a dream. And I think that we celebrate his dream of diversity right here at Calvary, that we know that we need each other to be a part of God's kingdom, the reign of God. We need each other. We celebrate the diversity of our gifts, our cultures, our languages, our abilities, ourselves. God has created us all. And God has chosen to participate in our lives through Jesus the Christ, to see our need to love our neighbors as ourselves, and in that love, justice. God's justice restores and heals. For God is not a passive God standing by, but God is active in our world today. Through the example of Jesus, we believe that God works in us for justice, for reconciliation, and for peace. And our deepest prayer may be that we hear God's voice to us, and that we may say, yes, Lord, I'm listening.
Evil things like racism can flourish when good people do nothing. And there's a bunch of good people here. So just don't let it happen in your presence. Y'all promise? Okay. Let's stand up and turn to page 382. Sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Doing recently in our country is to celebrate Martin Luther King Day by a day of service, a day of answering God's call. And it's great to do a day of service. It's wonderful. It's a good thing to do. But as Christians, that's our call every day, not just on one day. But it's our call to serve by saying, can I help you? Can I help you? Who needs our help today? And who can we serve? We serve God when we serve others. Go in the gracious knowledge that God loves you and that God's Spirit rests on you and that His holy name abides and lives with you always. Go in His peace. Amen.
God bless you all, and do live in peace. Amen.